When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The Bruins have fired their head coach, and we will talk about that with Mike Milbury. Celtics win a cup game, and it pains me to call it that, and we will talk about that with Mego coming up at 9, and you can talk about both of those things all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
Santo hit a six-leg parlay in that game last night.
Sure.
But Wiggy skewed my way in which I think, because I was like, well, what's your payout? He's like, 150. I'm like, nah.
Right. Six legs, a buck.
But I was 50? Like, I should have been like, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
See, that's not amazing.
Don't listen to Wiggy on this stuff.
Cool. But it was so lackluster when he told me the amount. I'm like, oh. Right.
That's like him running home and saying, oh, I hit the lottery. For how much? 150.
So what do we have? What did he have in his when it came to legs? We
I have like
Tatum. They must have been
had
super...
Tatum over 10 points.
Yes, exactly. Derek White won.
It was a smart one. He had Celtics money line.
Yeah.
Celtics -2 spread in the first quarter. Right. Jaylen Brown 3-pointers made over 2.
Yeah. All right.
Derek White assists over 4.5.
Did he have Cleveland getting 40 points in the third quarter?
No.
As occurred
he didn't.
Last night?
No? Drew Holiday over 3.5 rebounds. Right. Jason Tatum over 28.5 points.
Yeah. Right. I hit a 5-legger myself last night.
Okay. What was your payout?
$120.
Oh. Mm.
Courtney, I was waiting for an over 4.5 meatballs.
Yeah. You also hit a 5-entreer after the show yesterday in the studio.
All right, bagel boy, relax.
Oh.
All right, we have leads left.
Bagel boy.
Let's get to them. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. My lead this morning is an apology to one Greg Hill. I came at you yesterday saying that your Netflix buffering during the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul fight was your internet connection being bad.
You called it an old man technology me problem.
Yes. Yep. It does seem like it is a Netflix issue. Now, I had had a few Chardonnays, what of it, going into that fight. So I thought the fight looked pretty good to me. But it seems like you were not the only one that dealt with buffering and glitches during the fight.
Oh.
There has been a lawsuit filed in Florida by a Ronald Blue Denton that accuses Netflix of breach of contract for the constant glitching during the event. Netflix has acknowledged the poor streaming quality and they released a statement saying this unprecedented scale created many technical challenges, which the launch team tackled brilliantly by prioritizing stability of the stream for a majority of viewers. Now, this is going to be a big worry for most heading into the Christmas Day games, especially the Ravens at Texans when it comes to the Beyonce situation, because if it's unprecedented for this fight, you know, what are the numbers going to be when it comes to the football games?
Well, that's not the only problem that Netflix has on their hands. There is speculation that there is about to be a massive class action lawsuit filed on behalf of those who wagered on the fight because of what Jake Paul said afterwards. And essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but that he could have knocked Tyson out, but he, you know, didn't want to knock Tyson. So you look at...
If you think that was on the up and up, you are an absolute
moron. So wait
a second.
Correct.
But Curtis, the fact that it's not on the up and up and people are wagering on it is an issue really for the first time, you know, because of the advent of legalized sports wagering.
Mm-hmm.
So now,
right,
it, you know, boxing or, you know, I would not say you can't say it about the UFC, but you've been able to say it about boxing for a long, long time, where some of these outcomes are sketchy at best. You now have to contend with those who are able to come at you legally and say, wait a second, I wagered on this thinking that it was a legit bout.
Yeah, but isn't that like a sports team going, yeah, we probably could have scored another 30 points if we wanted to, but we took our foot off the gas? Him saying, I could have knocked him out if I wanted to, but I just kind of, you know, I felt bad for him. Like,
do you look at that and say that was a legit fight?
Well, there's all types of stuff out there saying now that it could have been rigged or whatnot.
No, he just asked you.
Yeah. I don't know. I honestly, because Tyson looked old and slow.
It was
did you
legit.
Watch the whole fight?
I didn't watch a second of it.
All right, so then, really, how the hell would you know?
Because I knew the second it started, it was
BS. You didn't watch one
it
second
was,
of the fight.
It was World Wrestling Federation.
That's like me saying, well, you know what? Those debates were rigged. And you going, oh, did you watch the debates? And I go, no, I didn't watch one second of it.
Okay, let's go
how
around the room.
How the hell would I know then?
Because I saw the buildup to it,
I watched
Wiggy.
Every single round of the fight.
Right. Sportsbooks took it off their...
I understand that.
Why do you think they did that?
Listen, I watched every single...
You just said you couldn't see it. It was buffering.
Did you watch the whole
yes.
fight?
Yes. And
Tyson looked old.
Not the first. I mean, he looked like he could kill him in the first round. And it looked to me like he backed off.
But he did look old, and that's why I thought it was rigged, because it's like, why would Mike Tyson put himself through that? Like, you have to know.
There's 20 million or exactly. 40 million reasons why he did.
But yeah. I also, I just think that it was decided beforehand how this thing was going to go.
Of course.
It looked like the first round where it was like, all right, Tyson had a little gas in the tank. And then after that, Jake Paul got hit a couple times early and said, all right, I need to stay away from his pot. And I'm not saying that it wasn't rigged.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying he looked old.
Right, we all knew that. He's 60.
Right, so
with an old guy.
It could have looked like Jake Paul just was taking it easy on this guy.
Why would he take it easy on him in a fight? Yeah. When was the last boxing match where somebody took it easy?
Well, I mean, that's what it looked like.
Wait. When was the last boxing match somebody took it easy on their opponent?
Floyd Mayweather, when he fought McGregor.
But if you're wagering on an outcome, it is unfair if one of the individuals is going to be taking it easy on
you. Don't wager on the bad outcome. Yes. Wager on the right outcome like a smart person, like Costo said on this show and like I did.
And don't wager on a fight that has a 58-year-old man fighting a 31-year-old man who the 31-year-old man looks up to the guy. He could have, in my opinion, I think Jake Paul could have dropped him at any time he wanted to.
Some of us have old man strength.
Yeah, well,
it's well documented by science.
It is interesting when Wiggy brings up like football, though, and if a team's being classy and not, you know, running it in for another score if they're up 50, if you wagered on it.
When it comes to those who wager.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Wiggy, good morning.
Great lead. Good morning. So, there's a little bit of reshuffling going on right now when it comes to the Big Four of Boston. Clearly, Celtics are the front runners by a wide margin.
When it comes to the best franchise.
When it comes to the best franchise. They are the front runners, and it's not even close. When you start to look at who's second in that list, I think that list has changed over a period of time. For me, it's Sox or Patriots on whichever one wins the offseason, right?
Yep.
I give the edge to the Patriots right now because of Drake May, but it's just by a little bit. If the Red Sox make a legit run and they get Juan Soto in the
Soto?
If they're able to get him in the offseason, then there's a legit chance that that could flip, but they're neck and neck. And the Bruins, they are in the rear. Very, very far away. I don't even know if they can barely see the brake lights. They're so far away. But when you start to look at the Bruins, I think most people would have had them second behind the Celtics.
Yeah.
And now they just completely talking about falling off the cliff. They did. So I think there's a reshuffling going on when it comes to the power rankings of the Big Four sports teams.
All right, Wiggy. Thank you very much.
You got it.
The NFL this morning is considering putting even more restrictions on Tom Brady.
Wow.
When it comes to commentary on Fox after his recent interview with Patrick Mahomes. Of course, due to his partial ownership of the Raiders, Tom Brady is heavily restricted from participating in pregame production meetings and other avenues that would give him inside information, quote unquote, on the other 31 teams in the league. However, there are some owners that are whining that those restrictions need to be increased after his interview with Patrick Mahomes. According to the Sports Business Journal's Ben Fisher, the league is considering a variety of policies, including requiring interviews to be held out of team facilities and even as far away from team hotels as possible, and monitoring by the league when it comes to Tom Brady's interaction with players that may occur outside of the actual game broadcast. This is ridiculous.
That's so
what
stupid.
Is the point? What is Tom Brady going to glean from a one-on-one sit-down interview with Patrick Mahomes that is going to, in any way, shape, or form, help the Raiders? What is the point of paying him as much money right. as you're going to pay him? He has, Curtis, you and I were talking about this the other day. He's made leaps and bounds when it comes to doing this job. I think he's excellent at it.
He's great. The ratings are great. And the other thing is, I don't know if you guys saw, I think it was Sunday. Yeah, he was doing the Bears game. And he was on the field, and Caleb Williams and Eberflus and all these guys went to him. Like, they wanted, because it's Tom Brady.
Right.
Like, you know, just like Michael Jordan, whatever. You want to go talk to the guy. It's so silly, but Wiggy and I have been agreeing on this for
it's one and done.
One and done.
You think it is, really?
Yes. Yeah,
so he gets through the Super Bowl, and then he's focused on the Raiders.
Then he's full-time Raiders, like he's the John Elway of the Raiders, where he's, you know, where Mark Davis is like, all right, who's the next coach we're hiring? What should we do in the draft? Like, that's where he's going from here on out. He's going to, you know, turn his attention on to that.
Yeah, because otherwise I feel like Olsen would be at Amazon. You know, I feel like he would be pissed and going somewhere else because he was so highly thought of before Brady came in. So I think Olsen will be back.
Yeah.
Fox has the Super Bowl. They're banking on it being Mahomes going for his fourth, a three-peat with Brady in the booth.
Okay.
Because you just can't keep him in there and not have him have that type of access. Remember I told you we had this discussion. It's like if he doesn't have that type of access, there are just like little things that he potentially could miss out that would make the broadcast even better. I was at practice. I saw this. I talked to Mahomes. They love this play. Whatever it is, where the NFL knows that if he does, it might not be major, but it's a little bit of intel he can get for the Raiders.
But it's ridiculous that he can't comment on the officiating.
Yeah.
It handcuffs him when it comes to doing the broadcast.
Well, because
and,
he's
like,
an
not,
owner.
Not near the team hotel? Or, like, what?
Yeah.
I think Brady's like knocking on doors going floor to floor?
I know. All right. Well, those are our leads, and it's a Celtics Wednesday, but it's also a Bruins Wednesday. Mike Milbury coming up at 8:20 on the firing of Jim Montgomery, and then Mego will join us at 9 on today's show. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Bruins have fired head coach Jim Montgomery. Don Sweeney announced yesterday that the team has relieved Montgomery of his duties as head coach. Associate coach Joe Sacco will assume interim head coaching duties. The Bruins released a thank you to the coach on X, saying, "Thank you, Jim. We wish you and your family all the best moving forward." Lame. The guys have Utah in town tomorrow night at 7. And the Celtics killed the Cavs' perfect record in their NBA Cup matchup last night. 120-117 the final from the TD Garden. The guys dominated the first half. And while they did let them in a bit in the third, they were able to seal the deal. Joe Mazzulla talked about how they were able to respond to the third quarter push.
Yeah, I mean, we just kept a level of poise about us. We were able to tighten up some of the stuff in the fourth quarter that we gave up in the third quarter. And we just showed a level of physicality that we can get to on both ends of the floor. I thought the guys did a great job. I thought we were physical the entire game, which I care more about throughout the regular season is our physicality, our toughness. The details are the second most important thing, and we slipped a little bit of that in the third, but in the fourth we picked up both of those things. But I thought we were extremely physical defensively, and I thought we were very poised and intentional on the offensive end, and I thought we made good reads.
Joe Mazzulla, certainly a player's coach at times.
Yep, my guy, Jiu-Jitsu Joe.
I don't know if Jiu-Jitsu Joe going forward ought to listen to Al Horford or anybody else who is telling you that they did not, who is screaming at you that they did not foul a guy and that you ought to use your coach's challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you ought to go to the video and to the video experts before you unfortunately lose that and lose your timeout. Just based on Al Horford being very confident that he didn't foul. So
well, it happened so quickly because even the Cleveland coach kind of got into it at the end when he was like, "Should I challenge? Should I challenge?" Looking down to his bench, and then you know, but it's like, and even Scal said it on the broadcast, like everything. any little bit of contact, this contact on every play could be deemed a foul. But he did bring up the guy did travel before that.
Yeah.
So you would think, like, all right. But I guess they don't look and go, all right, well, he did travel, so it's a no call.
The Seasons are off now till Friday for another NBA Cup game, this one against the Wizards on the road. And some NFL news, another firing in New York as GM for the Jets, Joe Douglas, has been fired. In celebration of Awaken 180's 10-year anniversary, all consultations booked now through December 15th will be free. Reserve yours today, awaken180weightloss.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Oh, it's 71 in Jupiter. Oh, wait. That's where I'll be next week. Sorry. 37 in Boston, afternoon high of 55.
Well, coming up next, we'll get to They Said It. A quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. And that includes a comment on the irresponsible speculation on this very radio program about Patrice Bergeron as a potential head coach for the Boston Bruins. We'll get to all of that next. The Boston Bruins have fired another head coach, and we will talk about that with Mike Milbury coming up in about an hour at 8:20. Oh, by the way, just a quick heads up for Friday. Pudge's Pals back on Friday, Curtis, and a dog from Buddy Dog in Sudbury. Coming in
that
on Friday?
That is correct. Michael from Buddy Dog in Sudbury is coming in. I don't have the dog info yet. He's getting that to me today.
Excellent. All right. We are hoping that you might be able to find a furry friend, a forever home, and adopt our visitor on Friday morning. So that will happen at 9 on this show on Friday. And right now, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me facing. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Chime, you get your eyes on the text line by any chance? Subaru of New England text line.
Which always,
is, Greg. 37937. As is always the case on this show, a variety of opinions.
The duality of man.
The polar opposite of opinions on everything that happens on this radio program.
Yep.
Every day. Like the 978 text that says, great cover.
Exclamation point.
And then the 617 text that says, gross, please make it stop. So
that is, yep.
It is.
Spot on.
Some suggest that covering a band like Led Zeppelin is an affront to all society, and it should never occur.
Speaking of polar, you were in that part of the world with the old boss man.
Yeah, Ken and I went out to Wachusett Mountain yesterday.
All right.
It's my childhood.
The choo-choo.
I don't know if I should reveal why or not, but
did you go to my rehab facility?
I did. We drove by that place.
Oh, that's not. It's a different one, but that's right around there.
But there is a snow. The season of snow is coming.
It is.
But anyway, Ken had never had polar orange dry, which I would argue is the single greatest, arguably the greatest soda ever created by mankind.
What is the dry aspect?
It's
Ken.
It's the Ken's humor. It's the flavor of it. It's like not a like an overwhelming orange soda.
Okay.
It's like a hint of orange. Mm. It's arguably the best soda of all time. I did make an exception to my no soda rule.
Uh-huh.
You know, the only vice I've ever been able to get rid of in my entire life has been soda.
Right.
But I did sample one with Ken yesterday, but we had a blast.
Okay.
Do you consider polar seltzer soda, though?
Yeah, I'm with you.
No, seltzer is not.
Right.
But that's a soda.
Right.
My darling. The orange dry is a soda.
Polar makes soda and seltzer.
Okay.
I don't want to. Yeah, huh? We're moving fast around here. But
yes. Okay. So it's not a seltzer water.
No, they make all kinds of sodas out there.
I never knew that.
Oh, well, see, there you go.
The more you
imagine
know.
Imagine if you hadn't been doing this show, you would have never learned that.
I got to try it.
Well, there's diet too, so zero calories.
There's diet and there's the regular.
Yeah. It's like yesterday. Yes. I learned about tartan. I never would have known that.
Yep.
And honestly, Curtis, you know this, but nothing is. I would say nothing is more exciting than an hour and a half ride in a vehicle with Ken Laird.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would put ahead of that is an MRI.
It really is a lot of fun.
Are you making the trip down to New Jersey with Ken?
No.
Did you work that out?
I'm dreading that.
I feel bad for you, Big
Everybody
Al.
is. I brought that up on the show the other day. I'm delighted. I love Thanksgiving, and so I'm delighted that we're going somewhere different, going to the Jersey Shore. I've never been there. But I don't – I got to do the show Wednesday.
Mm.
How – it's going to take me weeks to drive to New Jersey.
Yeah. Such a horrible drive.
On the Wednesday before Thanksgiving?
Ugh. Are you planning on leaving directly after the show?
I don't know what the best thing to do is because you get into, like, everybody else leaves early on Wednesday. Mm. Got to go through New York. No way to avoid New York.
Oh, why don't you just do Thanksgiving morning?
The George Washington Bridge.
Tappan Zee.
So, wait, I could get up early. I guess I could get up early on Thanksgiving morning and drive down.
Or leave at, like, 6.
6 what? P.M.?
6 yeah. P.M.?
No, I think
no,
that's...
Wednesday night? No.
You'll be fine.
No.
I think 6 p.m., that's what everyone's going to do, and that's going to be worse than leaving at, like, 10.
And then,
10.
Like, stupid New York and Connecticut, they always have, like, road work on a lot of those highways out there, so it goes from, like, 3 lanes to 2 lanes or 2 lanes to 1 lane.
Curtis has the best
way to do it, 6 a.m.
It's going to be a cluster F of epic proportions.
Can you fly?
But that's going to be the same, isn't it? Like,
no, I'm flying Wednesday at 4.
You have the same nightmare, though, at the airport. There's 8 billion people at the airport.
TSA pre, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where would you fly? Where do you fly into the Jersey Shore? Like, what airport?
Hell.
Probably do LaGuardia.
And how,
but or JFK.
How long's the drive from
like 30 or 40 minutes? It's not bad.
Oh, the drive's only 30, 40
minutes?
Yeah,
one of them.
From LaGuardia?
You can fly to Atlantic City. So I could do that.
But how long is the drive from Atlantic City to
I don't know.
Jersey Shore?
It's a nightmare. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Let's get to They Said It. Where do you want to start this morning, Sean?
Well, Greg, as you've teased this morning, Tuukka Rask had some comments on the Spit and Chicklets podcast about comments that happened to be made on this very radio station by one Greg Hill. In regards to the firing of Jim Montgomery and who may replace him. Here was Tuukka Rask.
Is Patrice coming back out of retirement?
You know what I heard? I don't know if Witt heard in Boston, but the radio station said last week the Monty's going to get fired and Bergie's going to be the coach.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So that's where we're at. I think, yeah. So I told him that.
That's like a Chicklets take.
I mean, dude, are these people for real? Like, what the f***?
Well, we are those people.
Friday, he started laughing. He's like, yeah.
Yeah. We should have name dropped us, though. That would have been classic.
No. Biz said it's a Chicklets take. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that is a Chicklets take.
And I said,
wrong with that.
He said they are those people.
Yep.
And this was probably also very much recorded before Monty got fired.
Yeah.
So technically the first part happened. You were half right at the very least.
You were spot on. That is cool. Yeah. Shout out to the Chicklets. Next time, Tuukka, give us a little credit.
Yeah. Right.
And I got to say, I love the fact that now we know for a 100% certainty, Tuukka Rask, P1 listener of the program.
Big listener.
Hello, Tuukka.
Yeah. And he's up early in the morning for the leads, no less.
Yeah.
Tuukka.
Do you think Tuukka knows there's more than one radio station?
I don't know. I have no idea.
But no, he loves Greg that much.
But you were just saying we are the radio station.
Right.
But Greg did have the Patrice Bergeron as the coach.
I'm telling you, it's not dumb.
Yeah, it's like, kind of dumb. It's a guy that said, let's blame the coach, and then I'll come in and be the coach.
Well, they're going to have to hire somebody next year.
Yeah, they are.
So is that the Bergie?
I no disrespect to Joe Sacco. Great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Great place.
Excellent guy. He used to, for years, was participant in the WAAF Celebrity Golf Tournament to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation. Phenomenal guy. But he's been here for 10 years. Isn't he a part of every – if you're Don Sweeney and Cam Neely and you have an issue with the coaching, that's the wool you're trying to pull over our eyes, isn't he a part of the problem?
Well, unless he does things differently like Mayo does. Even though he was on the bill for a long time. Yeah. I mean, unless he has his own thought process. But I don't think
so. Are you saying that Joe was having private meetings with Charlie Jacobs when he was supposed to be out on the field coaching like Gerard Mayo?
Yes,
is that what you're saying?
He could have been. He could have been. Maybe. But they're going to have to do something, right? And so unless he just has an unbelievable run, Do they hire him?
What, Curtis?
Angry Principal Dave is just so perfect.
Why, what's he saying?
He says, how about he can listen to the replay as well, Greg?
Well, maybe that's what... Maybe that's true. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe
you got us, Dave.
Maybe he went back on the Odyssey app and listened to the replay, or maybe...
Right.
Maybe Tuca's not a morning guy. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Listen to the show anytime, anywhere with the Odyssey app.
I mean, if you're streaming the show at WEEI.com, you can rewind if you miss something.
But maybe he's a Twitcher.
Maybe he is a Twitcher.
Or he's in that YouTube chat.
Yeah, maybe.
I hated Renee Rubin, the worst principal at Dover Elementary. I was in her office all the time. But I thank God every day I did not have Dave as a principal. God, what a turd box.
How about Tuca jumping into the media world, huh?
I know.
He's got the Messen show. The Manning cast for hockey.
Well, he also has one of the best jobs in sports, which I'm surprised you don't have.
I believe, and that I wish
is,
I did.
He is an ambassador.
Yes.
So he goes, he gets paid to go to the games and walk around the suites and have a couple chicken wings and a beer with everybody.
Would you be good at that?
The only problem is it's there's one guy who already does it, Andre Tippett, and then there's Wiggy.
Yeah.
I mean, which one holds more weight when you think of pages? One guy's a Hall of Famer.
Wait, did Wiggy say Rask is jumping into the media world? Didn't he ghost us like three times?
No, he did ghost us dramatically a couple times.
But now he's doing the Manning cast. He's obviously, you know, seems like he's on with the Spit and Chicklet guys.
Yeah.
Something that he's going to constantly do. He's doing a good job. You said, Courtney, I haven't watched their version of it with Bergie, Razor, and him. But maybe he likes it. And then he drops a little F-bomb. He seems like he's got a cool little personality.
What's next, Chime?
Next, so one of the things Wiggy has talked about is the idea of Deion and Shedeur Sanders going to a team in the NFL, while Michael Irvin seems pretty confident that he knows that one team would definitely be interested. Here was Michael Irvin yesterday.
You do believe that if Shedeur went to the Cowboys, Deion would accept the job?
I believe 100%, and I can tell you, good sources have told me that. Great sources have told me that. That's all I can say like that without violating anything else.
And him and Deion are boys.
Well, weren't they all hanging out like over this very past weekend? I think he was. He was with the both of them, Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders.
All right.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Deion has done a good job in Colorado. You can't take that away from him. He did a great job at Jackson State turning that program around. Shedeur's going to be a high pick. The problem is, Dallas is going to...
Dak Prescott a ton of guaranteed money.
That's the only problem. Then you're going to have to trade Dak Prescott.
Right.
Which I think you'll probably find some teams that would take Dak Prescott. Dallas will be up there high enough potentially to be in the top five. Or, you know, where they might have to move up to number one. So it's something that you, Greg, just like the Spit and Chicklets and the Bergie coaching and Monty out, you were on the Shedeur and Deion package before anybody else.
I think I did. I did suggest that quite some time ago.
You did.
On this radio show. All right. What's next, Sean?
Well, Adam Schefter was on with Pat McAfee and talked about the amount of coaching changes that could be happening in the NFL this offseason, which may open a spot up for Bill Belichick? Here was Schefter with Pat McAfee.
5-22 told you that last year was going to be a heavy year. And it was heavy, but it was not as heavy as it could have been because there were certain franchises that decided to stick by their coach and not make a change. Like, we wondered last year if Chicago would do anything, and Chicago didn't. So there are obvious holdovers that didn't get changed out at the end of last season. When I look ahead into this season, there will be no less than 7. And I would say the realistic range is 7-9. And it's probably closer to the over than the under. And if it came in over 9, that wouldn't be the most shocking thing either. But I think 7-9 is realistic, probably 8 or 9.
Wow. So definitely Doug Peterson. Brian Daboll?
Probably.
So there's 3 right now for sure. Chicago, Jets, New Orleans, right?
Well, Chicago hasn't been fired yet.
Oh, they didn't fire him? They fired the
offensive coordinator.
Eberflus is still there. They fired Shane Waldron. And it's just the Saints and the Jets.
All right, so just the Saints and the Jets. You're saying Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Chicago.
New York.
Giants.
Raiders.
Oh, you're saying Giants, Raiders,
Ooh, Giants and Raiders, yep.
All right. Ooh, that's a good one.
Do you think the Cowboys?
Yep.
Cowboys. Ooh, yeah.
Cowboys is
Stefanski's on the hot seat in Cleveland.
Ooh, that's a good one, too. That's Bill goes back to Cleveland.
Well, I was going
to
say, listen, if Bill wants a job, there's seven or nine of them available, mm-hmm. he gets one yeah. of those, right?
Because there's hope. A couple wild cards out there. I know Boomer doesn't believe it, but I think the coach at Cincinnati potentially could be on the hot seat. Another guy who I sneaky could be on the hot seat, maybe he gets one more pass because of the injury, Mike McDaniel in Miami.
What about Harbaugh? That was rumored this past weekend. They could be tiring him in Baltimore.
Especially if they flame out early in the playoffs this year.
And if that Baltimore job gets open, that is Belichick's dream.
That's a good one. That'd be a good landing spot for Bill.
All right, Chime. That is, they said it. Thank you very much. We're going to talk with Mike Milbury about the Jim Montgomery firing coming up in about a half an hour at 8:20. And Courtney has today's news coming up next.
It's time for...
You know, if you just look at where the stars are in the sky, don't look at them as just random things. If you just look at them as points, look at the constellation. What does it show you?
The news.
So you just outlined it, Roland. What does it show you?
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Honey, let me see your dumper.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with five locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
Not a chance in France.
But. On WEEI.
Before I get into the stories, Wiggy and I have decided what your best case scenario is for Wednesday to get you to the Jersey Shore.
Oh.
It's Newark. To fly into Newark, it's like an hour drive from Newark to the Jersey Shore. You can get an Uber.
I'm going to Neptune Township.
That's south.
It is?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Much more south than the Jersey Shore that I've been to. Okay.
But that's the easiest with the less headache. Jump on a flight early in the morning or later on Wednesday night. Take you 45 minutes to get to Newark, and then, you know, like Courtney, like said, get an Uber.
Greg, what time do you normally get up for the program?
Approximately 4:20, so I can go on an old man walk before the show.
You could literally just get up, maybe about an hour later, leave 5:45 in the morning. You'll be at Neptune Township by 10:30, 11:00.
Because you are suggesting that no one is going to be driving on Thanksgiving.
That early in the morning? No, absolutely not.
Do you like driving? Do you mind driving?
I don't mind it.
Okay,
I
so mean, a four-hour drive is no big deal.
Yeah, it'll take you four and a half, max.
Yeah.
All right, I found some flights for you, Greg. You can fly at 5:30. That's the best option. You get in there an hour and 20 minutes, and then you drive.
Yeah. Well, I got to go to a gas station and get a map so I can find my way down
That's
there.
That's true.
All right.
Don't forget to print out the MapQuest.
We have been talking about the brush fires for quite some time now. Yes. It's officially a level 3 drought here in Massachusetts.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, state officials made the announcement yesterday that nearly all of Mass is in a critical drought and now just one step away from an emergency declaration after 3 months of virtually no rainfall. I do not want to step on Curtis's toes here because he is the weather guy.
It's okay.
We are expecting rain this weekend or this week.
I think tomorrow.
Tomorrow we're going to get over an inch of rain.
But that's not enough, they're saying.
No.
Yeah.
not even close.
No way, Curtis.
A drop in the proverbial bucket for you, Greg.
Okay. Have you limited your showering time? I know
they are saying to do that.
The Commonwealth is asking everybody to take short showers.
Yeah, I shower for a half hour. I'll stay in there all day.
Bathtub gal, which is definitely not.
You need to, for the sake of your fellow citizens, you need to forego the bathtubs.
I
don't know how you will accidentally post photos of your boobs if you're not in the bathtub, but you could probably do it.
I find myself in a dilemma then, because I received a letter in the mail saying that there could possibly be lead in my water, and that I have to run the faucets for like 30 seconds before I can actually use the water, because the lead might be sitting in the water. So what do I do? Should I waste water, or should I be preserving water? Should I be doing?
You misread that. It said lead in your pants in advance of the Jingle All the Way 5K. I wouldn't worry about it. I feel like that happens all the time.
Yeah.
He should run it for a little bit, but to make sure that there's no lead in his water.
Not during a drought.
You can't clean the pipes out.
So you want Chime to get sick?
The Commonwealth of Massachusetts is advising you to forego washing your dishes.
That's why I find myself in a dilemma.
Because the situation is so serious.
Yeah, so the numbers are crazy. They're saying that it's been hundreds of wildfires and that 37 of them are still burning as of last night. Okay. So,
which is weird. We have so much water around here.
Greg, I can already see Lexington houses with signs that say, "We take short showers."
All right, what's next, Courtney?
Michelle Wu is responding to comments made about her by President-elect Donald Trump's pick for border czar. Here's what Tom Homan had to say about Michelle Wu.
Defending our residents every possible way? Well, she's not very smart, I'll give her that. Because what I just said is President Trump's going to prioritize public safety threats. What mayor or governor doesn't want public safety threats out of their communities? I mean, that's your number one responsibility, is protect your communities. And that's exactly what we're going to do. So she helps us, she gets the hell out of the way, because we're going to do it. And look, there's a clear line here, and they can't cross a clear line. I would suggest she read Title 8, United States Code 1324III, that says, you know, you can't harbor, conceal an illegal alien from federal law enforcement officers. So I hope she don't cross that line. They cannot cooperate. But there are certain laws in place that they can't cross, and I hope she doesn't cross it. But
shots fired, boop, boop.
Yes.
What is she upset for?
Well, she is suggesting that she will not cooperate, or the city will protect those who are here illegally from the federal government if they're trying to deport them.
Oh, okay.
Was what she was suggesting.
And so she heard that, and she spoke to WHDH. Here's what Michelle Wu had to say.
People can say whatever they want in politics. This is our community, and we know our community best, and so we'll be taking the actions that we believe are in the best interests of our residents in Boston.
More cringeworthy fake laugh, Mayor Wu or Sam Kennedy? What was funny about that?
I think it's a nervous thing for her.
You think
so? Yeah,
oh, really?
I think she laughs when she's nervous.
Every time she talks, I feel like she's held hostage.
Yeah.
I mean,
she ran for this, right?
Yeah, she did.
Weird.
It is still a it's still a crime to be in the country illegally, and so there are some who would like to enforce it, and there are lots of ways to get into the country in the proper way. There are many people who have done that and take a lot of pride in the fact that they did that.
Right.
And so
and unfortunately, the few bad apples, the ones that are illegals but are criminals, they ruin it for everybody else that could be potentially trying to do it the right way and that kind of thing. But you got to protect your people here first more than anything, because, you know, you see some of the...
Well, she's not saying that. She's saying, I guess, Michelle Wu, is what I get from that is we're going to protect illegal immigrants over those who are legally here in the country.
Does anybody ask our mayor about homeless veterans? And how every, you go watch any of these reports on the hotels up and down the Massachusetts roadways that are, you know, ordinarily like truck stops or Days Inns or whatever, that are just fully occupied by people who came here illegally. And there are, the way we treat people that allow us to have borders in the first place is disgraceful. By both parties, the entire thing is a mess. I'm not blaming one person. But shouldn't we care for those that provided us our freedom first?
Always, I learned a long time ago, always worry about your home before you start worrying about your neighbor's home or other people's home. So, and when I say our home, like people in America, people that are from here, people that are citizens, it's like, can I just go to Iraq and be like, yo, I want to live here? And they're going to be like, all right, cool.
Curtis, you see that text from Ken Laird's neighbor? He just put up a sign this morning outside his home in Brookline. Did you see that?
No, what's it say?
It says, "In this house, we take short showers."
I like the one that says, "Water doesn't have a home here."
All right, we got to take a break.
Imagine having a lawn sign that says, "We believe in science"?
We will. We got to take a break. We'll get to the rest of the news next.